Hi everyone, my name is Sandy and welcome to the Empowerment Club podcast. This is the place to be inspired and empowered through our episodes with special guests and myself. As always, the conversation of the podcast happens at the Empowerment Club Facebook group. So head on over there to share your thoughts on the podcast and what you've learned from it. The link for that is www.pablogill.com/empower. For those of you who are unaware, Pablo Gil is here to help you achieve personal and financial freedom through unlocking the power of your mind. Today I've got Chris here with me. He's an online marketer by profession and also an author of the book called Change It, 8 Steps to Create Positive Transformation in Your Health, Relationships and Income. I met Chris a while back when we were both invited to join a panel for Eco Africa Summit at the University of Salford. And Chris shared his story and we got talking and I was really inspired by his words and by his knowledge. So I thought it'd be great to introduce Chris to our audience so you can get inspired and learn a bit more about marketing and the whole writing process, as Chris has a lot of personal stories that he'd love to share. So carry on watching to hear what he has to say. Thank you for coming on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me.
No, it's all right. So when we met, I know in the event that we did like early on this year, we did a lot about empowerment and you shared your story about, you know, your book and your journey. And I just thought it'd be really great for you to another audience, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll just get started. So you're currently still in marketing, I believe?
Yes, I'm working as a digital marketing manager for a sales company.
For sales, okay.
Yeah, marketing for sales, yeah. Salespeople and also sales training as well, which is a great business model to be able to place, you know, sales talent within a company, particularly in the technology and manufacturing industries, and they're placed with training that's fully equipped, from telephone skills to negotiation skills to management and pitching, to be able to present and pitch an offer. So there's loads of different skills that these candidates are trained with, and then they're placed within a company. And my job is to ensure that the business has a good influx of business leads. So my job is technically digital lead generation, all businesses need, especially with the online side of the business, which is great for automation. So that's technically what I do. You know, I work behind the likes of Google with SEO, also LinkedIn. I also work heavily in the paid advertising sector, such as Google Ads and LinkedIn Ads, and Microsoft Bing Ads as well. And literally it's just a case of, you know, optimizing your campaigns or your website or certain web pages in order for the right audience to come to your site, submit an inquiry, that's a business related inquiry, and then that then gets passed on to our qualifying team, who then will speak to the prospects. So it's quite an interesting role that I play. I'm responsible for, you know, a few million a year in turnover, so it's a highly responsible job, and there's a lot to it.
Definitely,
particularly behind not only on page optimization and strategy, but also data analysis as well, which is another large area for digital marketing, to identify the KPIs that have strength. And then, eliminating the things, or maybe tweaking things that are not working so well. So it's basically business intelligence that can really
Yeah.
drive a business. And data now is becoming a massive part of all businesses, because it can really drive your business, tenfold, if you know what's really working and who your audience are, and how long they're spending on your site and what location they're in, age bracket, demographics, the
Yeah.
source channel. There's loads of things. It's such a fascinating position to be in as a digital marketer, but there's a lot of time invested, and a lot of trial and a lot of
Yeah.
error as well along the way.
I love the word business intelligence that you used. I think that term basically sums up digital marketing and the world we're currently in. I'm currently doing a series actually on our YouTube channel about networking and, getting leads off different social media platforms. So I just did one on LinkedIn. What's your thoughts on LinkedIn and getting leads from LinkedIn? Is it quite a viable source, do you think?
Absolutely, for business as well. I think all businesses now, whether you're small, medium, or large, LinkedIn is the social platform to be on. Particularly because you can find out as much as you need to know about the company. You can have posts. You can have different variations of interaction on there. But from from a lead generation point of view, I think well, there's twofold. There's a side where it's the social side, where you're making connections, you're following up. You will get a lot of businesses trying to do business on there, and it can become a bit mundane, and it can come across as the hard sell. You get the odd, I get loads of friend, not friend requests, LinkedIn connection
Connections,
request
yeah.
from other businesses, and they want to do business. That's fine, and that's the way to to build businesses, to make connections.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is where you can implement paid advertising, where you can run different ad types, whether it's display advertising, video ads, or they've introduced now lead generation forms, so you can actually marketing funnels within LinkedIn to generate leads, and then obviously you can follow up with them once they've submitted their their contact details.
So yeah, LinkedIn is big then, I guess. I feel like it's such a new, it's not a new platform, but I think that it's been forgotten about a lot. And I think only recently everyone's raving about LinkedIn, I guess. So you talked about how it's all about data and marketing was all about data. Do you find analyzing the data quite interesting? Is that something you find quite passionate about?
Funny enough, I find it, one of the most fascinating elements of my role is it's kind of, if you want to look at it this way, trying to piece the puzzles together. You're digging in, you're investigating, you're finding out if you have an assumption, are you right or are you wrong? If you're right, great. How can you use that to your advantage? If you're wrong, what have you missed? Do you do, do you go, looking a little bit deeper? I personally, I think it is fascinating to look at, especially if you, I don't know if you have, but I have that, I have this software platform on my tracking on my website, which is Google Analytics, which is it is it's free from Google. You just create a Google Analytics account, you create like a pixel tag, you put that in the back of your website, and then you can track all your visitors, and how long they've been on there for. Are they coming on the site? Are they leaving the site straight away? How many inquiries you've had? You can track the number of phone calls that are made now, with different integration phone tracking software. There's so much you can learn from the user journey on your
Just
website.
the analytics, yeah. I just wanted to ask actually, because I'm obviously, doing my own promotions and advertisements and stuff like that. And the main thing is, I guess, to have a landing page where people go to and you put your pixel on there. Have you found from your experience that like a more detailed landing page works better or a less detailed and captivating landing page?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. Because with the likes of Google and Google rankings, you want your website to rank really well, which means that you have to have a good optimized, landing page or web page, which has, relevant copy. There's elements that you can, incorporate, such as keyword mapping, which is basically ensure that you have a focus keyword and it's placed in certain positions on your page, and they're tagged as well. So that will help your organic,
Reach,
your organic movements on Google ranking listings. So that's one element of it. The other side is
What's
if you want a high converting page, let's just say you're driving paid traffic to, then you might not want a lot of, a lot of copy on there. It might be just quick, straight to the point. Here's why you're here. Here's a bit of value. Here's the offer, and then a strong call to action to make them either, submit a contact form inquiry or make a phone call.
I think that's really good advice. I'm seeing a lot of traditional businesses as well going into online. So I know a lot of accounting firms, they've created landing pages and they're doing it via that, providing online service. So I think that's really good advice for a lot of people that going into marketing and going into online platforms, I guess.
Definitely. I mean, organic through, organic traffic through an SEO strategy is really good because it's more time invested. You don't physically have to pay Google anything. You can it's free. But on the flip side of that, there's always that time versus money aspect. So
What would
you
you do?
have
So
to
if you've
invest
just
in your money.
created a business and stuff, what would you do first? Would you rather spend time in doing that organic reach, or would you think that investing, short-term money in paid ads will get you going first? What would your advice be?
I would probably go down the organic route first, and understand clearly what your business proposition is, how you can create valuable content. Are there any videos you can put on there, engaging images? How can you make your page, so user friendly that someone wants to come to the site and spend time on it? Because so Google will, obviously measure more the more time you spend on the site. They will see that as, being a valuable web page. If you don't have a lot of money, this is the best route to go down. And also, you get links to the site as well from other channels. So it could be social media, it could be from a blog, a forum, it could be from, using email marketing to drive people to your site. And then obviously you can use Google Analytics to measure to see what is the most effective channel that is going to my site. If you have money, then I would highly recommend you do some testing with some paid advertising, finding out what's the right copy.
Well, I guess aside from marketing as well, you're also an author. Talk me through your journey, and have you always been into writing? Is that something you've always been passionate about?
No, I've not always been into
Wow.
writing, but I guess the book was has kind of manifested itself over a period of 7 years, where I explained, well, I talked about this, when we did the guest speaking at Salford Uni at the Eco Africa Summit, and it, you know from loss of a really good friend, in fact my best friend, to them, going through parenthood, and the challenges that they face there, and a relationship, and then a career, and then money. It just kind of evolved into an experience where I was thinking, well, either this is just serious bad luck, or there's actually a purpose to this journey. And what I found is that I started telling people my story, and they were taken back by it on the journey that I went through, particularly from the career I had before marketing, which was teaching, because I was a teacher for about 5 years. And And yeah, I told them the things I was going through and the shifts I was making, and what I found that people were actually taking were taking interest to this. And I found out that not so long that this was actually, a problem that people were facing in their own lives. So I thought, is there a possibility that somebody else or a number of people are experiencing what I am? And obviously it was the case. So I wanted to do something about it, but I didn't know at the time, because I was still going through my early, years of self-development in the first 2 years. And then I was listening to an audio program one day, and a guy was listening to, a guy called Jim Rohn, said, you can make changes in your life. You've just got to go through certain challenges, but then once you've gone through them, you can then succeed, and then you can change all, and then you can live a different life. And then I thought, well, actually, I could take this now and put it into a book. And because there was so many changes that had happened over a period of like 4 or 5 years, I was like, well, this is
Actionable
going to be the
steps,
title of the book, change it. And then I thought of, steps, because everybody needs steps to make progress. So I decided to call it Change It: 8 Steps to Create Positive Transformation in Your Health, Relationships, and Income, because they are the three fundamentals I think we as human beings tend to focus on, through our lives. I don't think there'll
Yeah.
be a point where we'll discard one
Definitely,
of them. They'll
like you
always
said,
be,
when you were sharing your
well, the
story, I was
three
taken
will
back as
tend
myself.
to,
I messaged you straight away saying,
reoccur.
thank you, Chris, for sharing your story. I think when we go through stuff, we feel like we're the only person going through it. And when we share it, different people have related to their own lives. So when I was sat there, I was relating it to my own experiences. It might not have been that drastic, but I was relating it. So every story you told related to my own experience. And it was just very relatable in that sense. So I'm glad you've made that book and you've taken that step forward. How has the response been? Have you gotten a lot of heartfelt messages, I think? Definitely, like you said, when you did that talk at the Eco Summit, it immediately struck a chord with me, and I messaged you straight away because whatever you shared took a lot of bravery first. And also, you tend to relate stuff to your life experience. So everyone goes through certain events and situations in life, and it may be different as a whole, but the fundamentals of it, the same effect happen to our brain and hearts in the same sort of way. So when you were sharing a story, I know a lot of people were taken back because they felt something similar happened to their life, and I felt something similar happened to my life. So I had to message you straight away and say thank you for bravery and sharing your story.
But yeah, how was your writing process? Did you find that quite difficult to write, or did it just come naturally because you knew what you wanted to share and what value you wanted to bring?
Well, I actually started writing the book at the back end of 2016. I started writing maybe like one, maybe two chapters at the most of the book. And then I went to a seminar down in London for 3 days, which was called the Bums on Seats Summit, by a guy called Nick James. Fantastic, brilliant entrepreneur who, he specializes in training entrepreneurs how to build events and build businesses. So at the time, I was going there to learn about business and set up my own business, and how to attract the right audience. And then I met a guy there called Vishal Majaria, and he was just starting his own business and teaching people how to write books. And he said, in life, it's not about who it's about who knows you. So then you therefore become an authority. The way to do that is to write a book. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm writing a book. This is no coincidence now that I'm meeting this guy telling me about how important it is to write a book and become an authority. So I signed up to his course. A couple months later, I went back to London and did a two I think it was 2 or 3 day training. I think it was three a 3 day training. And
And yeah, in 3 days, I think it was about 60% of the content was created. I had a title, I had a structure. I
Wow.
just started creating content. Now, the secret to creating a book really fast, I'm gonna reveal this on this podcast, is to have your content, if you can transcribe it via voice recording. So you record
Okay.
the structure of your book, and you break it down, and then you voice record it, and then you have someone transcribe it. So then you have content then, and then that content has then got to be molded into a manuscript. So I think it took me about a good, I don't know, probably a good year to create that content. Sorry, to turn that content into a manuscript. And then I had freelancers, work with me, and editors and formatters, to work with me to mold that. And you do need to spend a lot of time investing in it, because you can have someone edit your book and rewrite it, but if it's not the way you want it, then you might be back to square one. So there's a lot of to and fro in with the editing process, but in the end, it turned out great, and it was everything I wanted to put in. There was always a point where I was like, oh, could just add a bit more, could just do this, could do that. Got to a point where I was like, no, I have to publish this book now. So what it's taught me is to make sure that you have a good structure to a book, but also don't worry about trying to ram everything in. Just make it simple, easy for someone to read, and yeah, just get it out there. Get it out there.
So I'm in the process actually of, wanting to write a
Awesome.
book, and it's going to be all about strategic communication and how communication styles and responses are different in different cultures, because I've lived in several parts of the world and I know that different culture respond differently. So I'm very excited actually to get started on my writing journey. So that was really good advice. Because I feel I can talk for ages and talk valuable content, but when it comes to writing, you just get a bit stuck
Yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that's really
if you need
good,
any help
really
with
valid
that,
advice.
I'm more than welcome to give you some pointers on it. The key is, like I said before, a good structure, a relevant title that's quite catchy that people can grasp. And then also, like you said, you can talk a lot, so you can just transcribe, some of your content, once it's voice recorded, and it just completely speeds up the process. But if you prefer to type, you can type. If you prefer to write as physical, a pen to paper, you can do
So in the book, you talk a bit more about how you need to develop an optimistic, I guess, belief system. I feel like people fail to think about the internal belief system because it's been created when you were young. You were listening. I was reading a book the other day about, I think it was called Millionaire Mindset or Millionaire Money Management, something like that. And it was talking about how your perception of money has stemmed from your childhood and what your parents thought about rich people, what your parents used to say about people who's got money. So your internal belief system has been altered by all the experiences you've had
Yeah.
pre-adulthood. Do you find this to be true? Is that what you've discovered as well? And
I 100%, agree with what you've just said there, Sandy. Your programming comes from a very young age, and you don't know any different because you become a product of your own environment. So if you're told certain things, if you've seen certain things, if you've heard certain things, you're going to take that on, and that kind of builds into your belief system, unless you and until you get to a certain point where you decide, well, no, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I don't have to believe that. I can choose my own belief systems now. But fortunately for most people, they take that on for the rest of their lives, and they don't know any different. They may hear it, but because their programming is so ingrained in their beliefs and their their walks of life,
Yeah.
that just becomes their life and becomes, you know, who they are.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole phrase, you're the product of your environment, and it's because if your environment is thinking that way, that's how you're going to think. Do you have any tips on how to identify the belief system that you have that's quite negative and how to really alter that positively, I guess?
For me, whenever I, you know, look at whether it's a positive change and an action or if I'm going to make some sort of you know, some sort of change with my thinking, the way I feel, I like to write it down and take the thoughts out of my head onto paper. So I might write down a couple of belief systems. I might write down a couple of things that are going on in my life and say, you know, is this right? Is this how it's supposed to be? Or do I want it to be this way? And then, you know, once you do that, you can then look at the other side because you've identified what is happening. Then you've identified what you do want and you don't want. And then you can look at ways of, you know, of working towards that, you know, whether it is an action step or you know, particular belief system. I guess it's analysis. You know, going back to before talking about data and business, you know, insights. Analysis, same principle. Because if you're not, then how are you supposed to, you know, make any change on it?
No, that's a very good point, actually. Just as much as we analyze our business and our how our ads is going, we should analyze what's going on in our head, I guess. You talk about many different topics in the book, but there was one thing where you said about creating opportunities for more income. Could you expand on that? Like, what ways have you found this to be true? How have you applied it?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the most significant elements, you know, of the three areas that I put on the book, you know, as well as relationships and health. But this one is, I think, is the one throughout the ages of time we've always, not necessarily focused on it, but there's always been a concern there. You know, have I got enough? How much have I got now? How can I be generating more, you know? And I for me, especially in my journey in terms of, you know, financial difficulties, this is something that I've, you know, constantly and make progress. And one of the first areas I'm going to talk about. You know what you have now. Do you know how much you're going to need? Do you know how much is coming in or out of your account? But in terms of earning opportunities for more money, you know, I found the this is, I'll just touch on a couple of points that I've talked about in the book. So the first one that worked for me was to have the ability to, you know, find a way of you know, and earning money through a job because that's all I've known for pretty much most of my life through the different careers. So what opportunities or promotions can I find to get me a new job and then therefore earn me more money? And then along the way, I managed to then earn money, save money, and invest money in particular areas where I know I can potentially get a return, or it might be a case of, you know, investing money myself so that I can develop that, you know, and use that self-development and, you know, the knowledge that I've used to then become better myself, because like they say, if you want things to get better
Definitely.
or improve, you have to improve. The other way, which is more of the entrepreneurial route, is finding a way to have the ability to sell something, whether it's a product or a service. You'll find that a lot of people now are starting their own businesses, having a side hustle, and you know, really trying to build on that so that they can create a future, so they don't have to trade time for money or have someone else. So it could be a product that you've got, i.e., the easiest way is to, and I know it sounds, you know, like like an obvious option, but people bypass this, is to look at the things that you have and think, do I actually need this? Yes, great, okay, I'll keep it. If not, how much value has it got, and is there someone else out there that might want it? So you can use things like Facebook Marketplace, eBay, what's the other one?
Gumtree, is it?
What's it called
Yeah.
now? That's the one. That's the one. You could use things like that to be able to sell some of your stuff. You might not get a lot of money for it,
You
but it's
originally
more
had,
money
yeah.
than what you have, with it just sitting there. So that could be one. That could be like the first step without having to invest money or time or anything like that. Another way is to create your own product. So you'll find people who can make things. I met a girl a couple of months back, and she told me how she just works full time from home, running her own business,
Nice.
designing swimwear,
Yeah.
so customized swimwear, and she just sells it through Instagram, and she has a website as well, and she says she's doing making a couple of business. I have another friend who's associated partner
Yeah.
with my link to my business, and he makes customized kids wear, t-shirts, hoodies, and with his own brand. So he's done that off the back, with his own resources, and he's managed
Yeah.
to, sell those. It could be, making cakes, or, making
Yeah.
frames, or these are just random things that I'm thinking. It could be fixing something, so we can move on to services now. Like, it could be a service where you're fixing something or providing value, like I offer coaching. There's so many ways that you can think of, an idea that you can, either a product or service, but it's just bringing it to market,
Yeah.
and that's where marketing comes in, which is highly important, whether it is online, social media, word of mouth, using SEO or paid
Yeah.
advertising strategies to drive people to your online presence. So yeah, I guess that like they're the ways that I know of, and that has worked for me.
Yeah.
I've got a book now that I'm selling, and I also offer
Yeah.
this service as well, which is coaching. People, if they feel a little bit stuck and they want to make some positive change, I offer that, as well as some marketing
Yeah.
services as well, which
So
I
know you talked about, that speech again, in that event again, and you were talking about how your mid, we had a private conversation, and you were saying, your mid-20s, you didn't take much opportunities for different things. And I guess what would your advice be for people who are around the mid-20s that doesn't have much experience but can create more opportunities? Just like your one main tip.
One main tip, I would probably say, well, that no, there's, yeah, there's one significant one, and that is you've got to start now on your self-education. If you haven't started to review your life and look at your potential future of where you want to be, you can't, you could get there by chance from formal education, going for a job and what, and listening to conventional wisdom. But it's the self education that's going to make the difference. So it's reading the books, going to events, networking with people outside of your circle, learning things online, watching YouTube videos of people who have already done what you want to do. I think the most the key there is your self education, because once you learn how to
Yeah.
make £1 million or $1 million,
No.
nobody can take that away from you. But if you're handed £1 million or $1 million, and you're not aware of how to make it, then there's a good chance that you're going to lose it, because all you know is about is how to
That's
work for money
yeah,
and
that's a
then
very
spend money,
insightful point. I think self-education is so important. And that's how I've grown my knowledge and, created my value by learning. And I really believe in just constantly learning more about yourself and analyzing yourself. Now let's talk about a bit about your personal mindset. So we'll just end off by a couple of questions. Like, what drives you? What gets you going every day to create all these opportunities for yourself?
For me, it's the future. It's building a future that that deep down I've always wanted to do, and that was to be able to serve and help people, because I love doing that, whether it's through training or training someone, listening to someone's problems, offering support to know that they feel like they're being supported. And they're making progress, and then off the back of that, be able to travel the world and do it. So for me, it's having my end goal in mind, and the future I want to create, and doing whatever it takes to get there. And yeah, will make mistakes, and I've made many mistakes already, but it's a whole tenacity of not giving up and keep working towards that, and building a good network of people that you can, go there and have those
Just
people
out of
with you.
curiosity, this is my own personal question, but what's your opinion? Do you think life is long that we can achieve so much, or do you have a system that you think life is short, so you have to do everything now? What's your thoughts on life is long or life is short?
I've always been a person where I can't just sit back and do nothing. I can't just wait and think, oh well, I'll just just do it then. I think that's purely because I've always strived for excellence and doing well. Because I was a teacher for 5 years, you're ingrained to continuously work and continuously plan and deliver, and so that's how my brain works now. I do things today for tomorrow. I don't wait for tomorrow to then do the things for the next day. So, I feel, to answer your question, I feel life is short, and the rapid rate, I talk about this in chapter 8 in my book on time, not wasting it. And there's a particular section in there where I say that once New Year kicks in and it hits the 1st of January, before you know it, it's Easter, then it's summer, then it's autumn, and the transition of time is getting quicker and quicker and quicker. So you have to act now before you waste more time. Because I know if I would have started my self-development journey in my early 20s, such as a lot of people are doing it now, and you've done a
Thank you.
fantastic job in terms of where you are. Imagine where you could be in 10, 15 years' time. And I that's kind of one regret I do have, but it's not so much regret because I didn't know any different. I just wish it would have been earlier when I would have picked this up and then started my journey a little bit earlier. So, for anyone who's out there in their early, 20s, you need to start now. Start now and slowly build up, build that up into it's going to be a good future for
And I
yourself.
guess who are the main influences in your life right now?
People that we know, that maybe celebrities or
In general,
online or
who's your main
immediate.
influence?
That's a tough one, because I do have a few online mentors. I think for me at the minute, I would probably say it's a guy who's online. You may have heard him, may not. A guy called Dan Lok. He is a really successful internet entrepreneur, and what he's done is managed to build his success over a long period. It's not taken him 5 minutes. It's probably over 20 years. But now he's created what's called FU Money, which basically means the infinite amount of money that you need to create the lifestyle that you want. And it's not just about the money, it's more about his attitude and concepts of life, particularly how you become as a person, and that transformation, as well as being able to create a sustainable business. And he focuses mainly on how you can work on sales, but not sales as in the term that
Yeah.
people don't like, not like salesman or selling or hard sell, in a way that you can convince somebody else of what you have to offer has
Yeah.
high value and can help them, and in exchange they will
Actually, I've touched on
pay
sales,
for
you
it.
know. So
That's
when I first started, you know how you said about sales being that whole, you know, trying to con people into buying your stuff. I had a really bad impression of sales. And for someone who's got a service to sell, it was really bad that I had a bad impression of sales and bad feelings towards it. What advice would you give for people like that? You know, I've had to learn a lot and get that into my head, get that out of my head to think, Sandy, you're providing value to people, so selling is fine, because you're giving a solution to a problem. So, what's your one advice for people who still think that sales is this really shady area in life?
My advice is to look at it in a way that you have something to offer, and don't wait for the result of them to say yes or no, because that's what people are waiting. People are waiting for, I have this, do you want to buy it? Do you want to buy it? Do you want to buy it? I hope to say yes. Hope to say yes. Hope to say yes. But people are not always ready to buy, and selling is serving in a way, and serving is selling. It kind of works hand in hand. So my take on it is you be authentic. You don't try and push anyone to sell anything. You provide value. You find out what their problems are, and you just present them with a solution. And when you present them with a solution, you say, well, this is a solution, and this is how much I charge. If you're willing to work with me, then we can do it. And then just kind of take it's as if you remove the number side of things out of how of your, not pitch, I don't like that term, but the kind of the business conversation that you're having, and see what the result is in the end. And if people willing to take you up, they and find good value because it's something that you need. I learned from Nick James. He says, find out what people want, and then give them what they need. And you just put a price on it, and then if people want to take it, great. If they don't, just say, well, look, that's absolutely fine. I'm here when you need me. And then you always follow up, because they say the money's in the follow up. So then you follow up with them, later on down the line, and if it's great, and it's the right time for them,
I'll just
great.
end on the last question. What does success mean to you?
That's a very, very good question. It means a lot, and it means different things to different people. I think success for me means that I don't have the worries or the struggles that I've had along the journey. I can create a future that I feel happy. I feel happy, and I know I can support other people without having major obstacles in my way. I want to get to a point where I can think, well, if I have a problem, it's okay. I can there's a way of fixing it, rather than feeling frustrated because of the certain obstacles that I have in my way. And that's not just for business. That's for relationships, and it's also definitely linked to health as well. So yeah, it's creating a future that you want, and not being taken back too much by the obstacles, and knowing that you have the ability to
Knowing you have the
get around them and
capacity and
get
see
past
them to
them,
move
and
past it, I guess, to move past that bad gray zone and things like that.
and that's success, and it's achievement, whatever area of
All
life
right, Chris, thank you
that you're in.
so much for this conversation. I've really found it really insightful, and thank you for sharing your story, your journey, and all the tips. Where can everyone
No, you're
find
very
you? And
welcome.
if they want to, you know, read more about you, read more about your book, where's the best place to find you?
Think the best place to find me is on, I would probably say,
Okay.
Instagram. Instagram at c.j.alexander on Instagram, because you can instantly get in touch. You can see posts and images. I tend to provide value on there. Another way of finding me is on my website, which is www.changeitbook.com, and then there's YouTube as well. But I'm still building on my videos and uploading them to YouTube, so that will come, which will also be featured on the site on
Okay,
this special
fabulous.
bonuses
Thank
section.
you again. And I hope you have a great day and make everything really successful for you. Thank you.
And you too, Sandy. It's been great being on this podcast, and yeah, I hope to
Yeah, thank
collaborate
you so
again
much.
very soon.
Bye.